Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. We're heading into a North London derby weekend, and if things go our way, we could just be 1 point behind Tottenham at the end of play. And when you consider that just a couple of weeks ago they were not necessarily out of sight or uncatchable, but it seemed very unlikely, an illustration perhaps of how quickly things can change in football. We will be looking ahead to that game. We'll be talking a bit about the Bournemouth game as well. And later on in the second part of this show, sort of, myself and James will do what we promised we'd do on the Arsecast Extra, which is to go through all the fixtures and make predictions to see who is going to finish in the top four. Now, I have to admit, in the cold light of day, having done this morning, I think I got a little bit carried away. I don't want to say exactly which way, but once I'd finished making the predictions, I was a little bit like, oh, I'm not sure if that's realistic. Nevertheless, we go through all the games, the Arsenal games, the Chelsea games, the Manchester United games, and because they're now being sucked back into this race for the top four a little bit, and hopefully this weekend we can drag them back into it. That's a much better word than suck when it comes to this kind of thing. And we can drag them back into this scrap for the top four. So we've done all the Tottenham games as well, and we've made predictions based on all those fixtures. And you can hear that in part two of the show. We'll be chatting about Bournemouth and looking ahead to Tottenham now in a couple of minutes' time. Just want to touch on very briefly, this week, of course, was the 17th anniversary, the 17th birthday of Arseblog as a website. It began on February 27th, 2002. And here we are, still in 2019. Do you ever get that thing where you say the year out loud and it seems ridiculously futuristic, even though it's the present? You know, when you get to a year in which a classic science fiction movie was set when you were a kid or growing up, and 2019 seemed so far down the road that it was almost impossible that you'd ever get that far. But here we are. And to all the people who sent very nice messages, thank you very much indeed. I really do appreciate them. Many of you said, oh my God, I can't believe it's been 17 years. Now I feel really old because I've been reading this website since the start. And I can't believe 17 years of my life has gone by. It has. And for me as well, I definitely felt old too. I think the website is probably more my marker than my actual birthday, if that makes some kind of weird sense. I don't think I've ever done anything as long. Certainly no job has ever lasted this long in my life. And, I think I'm kind of stuck with this one. Stuck in a good way, of course. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who got in touch by email, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the various ways that people can get in touch with you these days to say happy birthday and congratulations and all that stuff. But thank you, and thank you for being with us. We really, really appreciate it. So we had a win in midweek against Bournemouth, 5-1, five different goal scorers. We played pretty well. I think you can always say you played pretty well when you win 5-1, but it followed up the game against Southampton, in which we also played pretty well, maybe not for the 90 minutes, but there was a good 45 minutes in there, and that followed on from the Bate-Borisov win, which was functional, I suppose, at best, but nevertheless, it was a win, and we've created a little bit of a momentum going into the North London Derby this weekend. So with me to chat about the Bournemouth game and to look ahead to the Derby, I'm joined by Phil Costa of One Football. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Andrew. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Let's start with the game against Bournemouth, because it's come after a good performance against Southampton. Not such a great performance against Bate-Borisov, but it felt like another little step in the right direction for Arsenal, not just in terms of result, but I think we've all looked for a bit more now that we're 6 or 7 months into Unai Emery's reign as manager. Results are one thing, but there's been a desire to see something a bit more than just a result, some performance, some good football, and there are signs that we're getting a bit of that now in the last two games, particularly on Wednesday. You score 5 goals. You can't argue with the kind of football we played.
No, definitely. I mean, watching us, particularly in the first half against Southampton and throughout the 90 minutes against Bournemouth, it makes our, you know, slow, ponderous play over Christmas and New Year even more frustrating, because you know, we can play well. We can play this, you know, quick, intense style of football that Emery wants us to play. But for whatever reason, it wasn't happening. But now you can slowly see the confidence coming back. You can see combinations beginning to develop. Everyone seems to be fit again after, you know, a difficult period, a busy period over Christmas. And it was just really, you know, enjoyable to watch Arsenal again, which hasn't often been the case.
Yeah.
And you can say it was against Bournemouth who you know, hit with injuries themselves. But, you know, this is the first time in a long time that I could see part of the plan coming together. And for me personally, that was extremely encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Most teams, I think I read something about this a while ago, and, you know, I'm paraphrasing in a big way, but generally at some point during a season, a team goes through a kind of physical slump, you know, where things don't quite work as well as they should, and they come out of that again. And many teams are conditioned to end the season strongly from a physical point of view. And I do wonder if part of our problem over the last 6-8 weeks was that, coupled with the fact that we had a lot of injuries, which exacerbated perhaps those physical issues that some of the players were having. Because, you know, even when we were grinding out results during that 22-game unbeaten run, and I think we have to say a number of those results were, you know, there was brilliant football the way we played against Fulham, the way we played against Tottenham, but there were also games where we just kind of, not necessarily went through the motions, but we did what we had to do to win. But there are signs now, perhaps, that with the players more physically in tune and perhaps coming out the far side of that, that the football is improving in a way. So the physical effort that we saw in those games where he grounded out, you know, there was no lack of effort or anything like that, but maybe just a little bit of lack of quality. But we're perhaps combining the two things in those last two games, and those signs are a bit encouraging.
No, definitely. I think mentally people forget how challenging, you know, football can be at the top level. You know, you're learning under a new manager. The pressure is well and truly on in the race for a Champions League football again. So that's another point we had to take into account. But obviously the injuries hit us hard and you have to adapt to that. And it's when you're under a new manager or new ideas, you know, he's sort of reshuffling and the players are reshuffling, and naturally that's going to create a blip. But you're right. I think the players look a lot fitter and sharper. I mean, Mkhitaryan, just to touch on him briefly, was, you know, not in everyone's good books before his injury. I mean, he always tries. He never hides. But, you know, touches went astray. He would always fade in games. But I think since he's come back, he's been really sharp, and what's crucial is he's productive. You know, we have Iwobi and Ozil who are more cohesive players. You know, they like to knit everything together, and we've we sort of lacked that incision in the final third. And whatever you think about Mkhitaryan, he's come back and contributed pretty well so far. So
yeah,
I think, you know, players coming back at the right time. Ozil seems quite energised as well, even though it's only been a few games. But hopefully now we can sort of ride on a bit of momentum.
Yeah.
Into a really crucial period.
I mean, I think there's an interesting point when you talk about Mkhitaryan coming back and looking fresh. He was out for 6 weeks with an injury. So he naturally is going to be a bit more fresh, perhaps not as match fit, but, you know, there's no sense of fatigue from him because he hasn't played over that festive period. Mesut Ozil, as we know, has been in and out of the team through illness and through injury and for tactical reasons and for probably other reasons that we don't even know about. But the benefit of that, if there is one, I guess, is that he too is not going to be somebody whose legs are heavy and weary at this point of the season. So I'm not saying it's all part of any kind of master plan by Emery, you know, to keep Ozil fresh for the business end of the season, but it's timely, isn't it, that you have two players who are two very talented players. You know, they've got their critics, but, you know, when you look at what they did last night against the likes of Southampton and what they did, or against Bournemouth rather, and Mkhitaryan was good against Southampton as well. You know, when you look at some of the opposition we've got to play between now and the end of the season, these guys could make a real impact in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to note perhaps the opposite of what's happened to Lucas Torreira. You know, he was slowly brought into the side and then he was a mainstay, you know, for a good few months. And, you know, you can sort of see now maybe his touch is a bit loose sometimes and, you know, he's a bit lethargic getting back. And there's no doubt that, you know, coming from Serie A where the football is naturally a lot slower than the Premier League and you're afforded 2 weeks over the new year as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's come to England and he's playing, you know, especially over Christmas, he's playing a game every 3 days and he's getting kicked every 2 minutes and running 11 kilometres a game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting to see how, while some players have benefited from a rest and some have maybe dropped off a bit. So I think it's all about just balancing your squad, balancing energy. But absolutely, as we head into, you know, a big game against Spurs on the weekend and United are coming up and we've got the Europa League, I think it's always good to have, you know, players fit, you know, regardless what you think of them.
Mm. One of the things that strikes me as well is that we have had to use Aubameyang and Lacazette together quite often, even though we haven't really played very regularly with two strikers. There was the game a couple of weeks ago, wasn't there? I can't remember which one, but we played the two of them essentially as forwards. But generally speaking, we're playing a one-striker system with maybe Aubameyang playing from the left or the right, even Lacazette dropping off those two switching around. But now that we've got Ozil back, now that we've got Mkhitaryan back, Iwobi is finding some form again, Ramsey's in there, you know, there's even Denis Suarez who can add some cover at least on the bench in those wide positions. It means that between now and May we're probably going to chop and change our striker a little bit. So for some games it's going to be Aubameyang, some games it's going to be Lacazette, and I know the two of them have got a great connection, but that too strikes me as somewhat advantageous or beneficial to us in that, you know, you're not playing one guy into the ground, you're not playing two guys into the ground, and if you start either one, you know you've got somebody of established quality on the bench itching to get off and to come on and make a contribution. We saw that against Bournemouth on Wednesday night. Lacazette comes off the bench and scores a goal. Aubameyang has gone off having scored the goal that I think he needed, you know, having gone 3 or 4 games without a goal. I think that too could be something that Emery is gonna look at between now and May, you know, and particularly as long as we're in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, I mean, just watching that game the other day, we've had some brilliant strikers at Arsenal down the years, but just to be able to call on either of these guys is a huge advantage for us because, you know, they score pretty regularly now. Like when you watch Arsenal, often in the past, it's been who's going to score today, where are the goals going to come from, especially you know, with Wenger in the later stages where things really weren't in any sort of, you know, healthy condition. But now you expect either Aubameyang or Lacazette to be on the score sheet or even both, you know, which is a huge advantage. And what's good is they both bring different qualities to the side. Aubameyang offers you threat in the channels and you know, pure predatory instincts in the box, whereas Lacazette, you know, he's improved so much at coming deep. He likes to link the play and he's got a lot better at shielding the ball now as well. I think he was very easily bullied off the ball in his first season, but he seems to have, you know, become a lot more physical, which is great. And, you know, these guys are really bonding well together and they're fighting for the same cause, which can only help. So, you know, it's always good to have goals from wide areas and from midfield. But when you have two strikers in red hot form, you know, this can only be an advantage for you.
Yeah, interesting point. A tweet sent to me by Sunak, at Sunak, and I'd said, you know, after he scored the free kick, I didn't know he had that in his locker. And he says, well, that was the first direct free kick goal scored by Lacazette in league football. That's 262 games across Liga and the Premier League. So, you know, there's another nice little development because, you know, having somebody who can curl in the odd free kick is very handy too. The relationship between them, I think, is quite interesting. You know, we know from their social media that they're big friends and they get on really well and they have a good laugh together and they celebrate together. You know, when they score the goal, the other makes the point of going across to the sideline to celebrate with his mate. But I do wonder as well if there's a competitive dynamic in that too. You know, it's great that they get on. It's great that they're mates. But I do wonder if there's something a bit more to it, you know, as well. You know, if you have a mate and you both play football and, you know, I'm going to score more than you, I wonder, is there an element of that to it? You know, good competition that could drive them and motivate them.
Well, I think that's what we've always wanted at Arsenal. You know, when Lichtsteiner came in the summer, this was supposed to be the resurgence of Bellerin, you know, some healthy competition to spur him on. And it's the same with Aubameyang and Lacazette. You know, they're not going to really cause much of a trouble or much of a, you know, a fight between each other or within the club, but healthy competition will always, you know, spur you on to become a better player. Cause at the end of the day, you always want to play. Mm. And when both are scoring so regularly, that only demands you to raise your level further and further. So having them, you know, competitive off the bench and good mates, you know, behind the scenes as well, is only good for us, as you mentioned before. So, you know, they're always adding different things to their game. They're always trying to score. But I've really enjoyed how selfless they've both been at times this season as well, which, you know, which has been really good to see.
So we have, as fans, I think, been trying to figure out what Unai Emery is really all about, you know, because we, through experience and also by just osmosis over the years, we knew what Arsene Wenger was about. We knew him inside out and back to front, which isn't to say we always did, but what we didn't have in the early years of Arsene Wenger was the mass communication platforms that we have now, where everybody can wonder out loud, what's this French guy doing? What kind of football does he want to play? You know, why don't we have a defensive midfielder? All that kind of stuff. So we didn't have that debate anywhere that resonated the way that the debate about Unai Emery does. What have you made of the way that he picks his teams and he changes his formations? I mean, he spoke about this after the Bournemouth game. He said, we're happy and the most important thing is that we're playing with different players in different matches. So he's talking about rotation. We're also playing with different systems. We need to use different players and different systems as each match is different, and it's good at this moment that they can do that. So it seems very much like he is a guy who is not going to go out and play 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3 or 3-5-2, whatever it is. He's not going to do that week after week after week. And maybe something we have to get used to as fans is the fact that it is going to chop and it's going to change on a game-to-game basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, those who wanted a pragmatic coach have struck gold here. You know, I think with Emery, essentially when he was appointed, I wrote the first 6 months of the season off. You know, he had so much to figure out. There was, you know, the Ozil issue, there was the Ramsey issue, there was, you know, he had two really good centre forwards who he had to try and pick at the same time. There were systems and he had new signings to integrate. So, you know, I sort of gave him a bit of a pass for that first, you know, 6 months or so, which is fairly reasonable. I mean, no one's going to come in and change everything overnight. Even, you know, Guardiola and Klopp struggled, you know, for their first seasons. I think I will say that I would prefer him to maybe lean towards a style or a formation that he likes, whether that's the 4-2-3-1 it usually is, or a 4-3-3, you know, because it always gives the team like a default setting to revert to. Because sometimes you'd watch Arsenal, you know, in November, October, December, and there would be not a confusion, but there would be so little cohesion. The players didn't really know what to do or where to stand, you know, and that's just down to the manager feeling out what he wants to do, which is fine. But I think as we progress towards the latter stages of the season, I think he will know, despite what he said in that quote you just read out, I think he will know what he wants to do ultimately with this team. And I think particularly in Europe, actually, I think having a base formation to say, right, this is our best 11, this is our strongest team, this is how we're going to play, that could really, really help the team. But there's no doubt away from home, especially in the big games, having some tactical flexibility will just make us a bit harder to figure out. When in the past it's been the opposite of that. You know, Arsenal have had weaknesses over the top and, you know, set pieces gradually over the years. So I think having maybe a joker card in there could help him as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do go into a big game this weekend against Tottenham, and, you know, you think back to the game we played against them at the Emirates, and it was one of the performances of the season. I think people were really energized by the way we played, obviously by the result as well, you know, having gone ahead and then gone behind and come back to win the game. But it was interesting from a tactical point of view, that game, because we started with a back three and ended up playing with a back four. And he shifted his team around as Pochettino shifted his team around as well. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the back three, and, you know, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of it. In certain games, I can see how it works and there's a logic to it. In other games, I'm a bit more circumspect about it. You know, the back three against Bournemouth the other night was evidence, of course, that we can go out and we can score goals and play good football while playing that particular formation. So how do you view this weekend and what he's going to do, the way he's going to approach an away game at Tottenham on the big Wembley pitch? I mean, it feels to me like the back three is going to come back in again.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bournemouth was, I know he made six changes, but I think Bournemouth was the sort of the test run for how we're going to play on Saturday. And I would lean towards it and say it's probably the right decision, because Spurs are likely to play for it at the back as well, depending on how fit Jan Vertonghen is. I think he's going to be fine, though, after missing the Chelsea game. I think at home, we played the Diamond, like you said, against Spurs, which worked really well. We played it against Chelsea, where Ramsey, you know, basically stuck on Jorginho for the whole game. And I think that worked brilliantly well as well. But away from home, we might just need a bit more in the you know, in the central areas, which Spurs typically excel in. You know, they have Son, Eriksen, Kane, who are not afraid to shoot. So any space they get, they will be firing shots on target. I know they didn't at Stamford Bridge on Wednesday night, but at home they are you know, very strong side. And I think, I don't know what's going to happen at right wing back, depending on who's fit, but I think we could cause them problems because their full backs, as you saw, are not in the best of form at the moment. Mm. So I think that would probably be the way to go. I don't think Urza will start.
No.
I think it will be Mkhitaryan and Iwobi. Elsewhere, I think the back three would be my personal choice.
Let me ask you which back three you would choose. Would you choose the back three that started the game on Wednesday?
I would. Yeah.
Okay,
I think Mustafi is fine on the bench where he is.
Yeah.
I like having a left-footed centre back on the pitch as well, because it's just so more natural the way we progress play.
Mm.
Instead of whether it be Koscielny, Mustafi, Sokratis, you know, their natural tendencies are to stay on their right. So, you know, instantly when we give the ball to Nacho, for example, he can take one touch and just fizz it out wide. And even those shaving seconds off taking an extra touch can make such a big difference. I would stick to the back three that started against Bournemouth, yeah.
Okay, and here's the difficult question. You know, if it were you, if you're in the hot seat, if you're Unai Emery, who are you playing right wing back in this game? I'm going to make the assumption, maybe it's right or not, that we will have Stefan Lichtsteiner back. I think he was in training, but Ainsley Maitland-Niles was in training as well this week, but they weren't risked. So he was obviously holding them back, one or the other of them, for this game. I thought Carl Jenkinson did fine on Wednesday against Bournemouth, but I can't see him getting the nod for this one. So it feels like it's between Lichtsteiner and Maitland-Niles. So if you had to plump for one over the other, who would you go for?
First of all, I'd agree about Jenkinson. I thought he was, you know, it's a bit sad how he's become a bit of a meme now.
Yeah, I agree.
When he hasn't really done too much wrong in the grand scheme of things, he's just fallen out of favour. I thought he did a really good job. I would probably lean towards Maitland-Niles. I know he has concentration issues. I know he has some strange moments where he just sort of loses himself on the pitch. But I think his athleticism compared to Lichtsteiner, who hasn't really got much, if any, at all now, could help not only going back but also going forward as well. So I would probably lean towards Maitland-Niles, as long as he's fit, of course.
Okay. So we're, I assume, going to field a midfield partnership of Xhaka and Torreira.
I would, yeah.
That's probably what's going to happen. So the final one then is who's going to start up front. And I have to say, I think it's probably going to be Lacazette.
Yeah, okay. I think he's going to play Aubameyang.
Okay. Just to give us that out?
I think we're going to need that out because Spurs press ferociously in the middle. I mean, even you saw Bournemouth, they're not exactly a top side, and they still gave us a few issues when they pressed Torreira and Guendouzi. And I just think away from home, we'll just need to knock it in the channel. And I think Lacazette's more than capable of doing that. But against maybe a physical centre-half that, like Davinson Sanchez or Toby Alderweireld, they would fancy themselves up against Lacazette. You know, they'd be fine getting tight with him and, you know, maybe bullying him around a bit. But I think Aubameyang gives them a slight doubt in their mind about, oh, maybe if he spins me here, I'm in trouble. So I think he might start with Aubameyang. I would personally play Lacazette, but I think Emery will play Aubameyang.
All right. Well, look, we'll wait and see. There are two good options for him to choose from, in fairness, as we've just said. So it's a long way from, you know, having to pick between Shamak and Bentner or something like that. So good old days, exactly. Look, we'll leave it there. We'll keep fingers crossed for a good result at the weekend. And Phil, thanks very much for joining me today.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a million to Phil. You can find him on Twitter. He is @_PhilCosta, @_PhilCosta. And hopefully whoever starts up front can get us the goals we need to win the game, because it would be great to win, obviously, and put the shits up them and maybe rattle their little cages a bit more. Fingers crossed.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. Now, on the Arscast Extra, we did say we would do the predictions once we got to 10 games from the end of the season. We are now 10 games from the end of the season, because last night, Arsenal beat Bournemouth 5-1. Last night, well, yeah, last night, whenever people are listening to this. But when we're recording last night, Arsenal beat Bournemouth 5-1. James is with me. We're going to do this prediction thing. James, let me just ask you a quick question. Mesut Ozil, doing that thing he does where he kind of kicks the ball into the ground or kicks the arse of the ball to make it go up in the air. How does this happen? How have you ever tried to do it?
I wouldn't dare.
Right.
I have no idea. You've tried, haven't you?
I hurt. I tend to get to our five-a-side game on a Friday evening before anyone else because I'm old and I need to warm up. So I think maybe after one of the times he did it earlier this season, I stood there for a while trying to do what he does with a rolling ball and also with a static ball, and all I did was hurt myself. So I don't know how he does it. It's incredible.
It is quite extraordinary. I've never seen anything quite like it, and it's very effective too. I can't remember many times he's tried it and it hasn't worked.
Mm.
If any, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think so? At some point keepers are going to suss this out now? Because they're expecting a shot to go across or go underneath them, and now they're thinking, okay, he's just going to dink this over me. He's going to pop it up over my head. So maybe he'll vary it up a bit and just roll one in next time.
What else could he do? I mean, could he come up with something else, you know, where he sort of kicks his foot, I don't know, under the ground or something, and it comes up. It is incredible. It looks like something where you could break your ankle trying it.
Yeah, the Mesut Ozil mole shot, where he literally puts his... Yeah, I don't know how he
burrows.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, fortunately, he's not played that much recently, has he? So they've not had too much opportunity to get used to it. But if he plays like he did last night, we're seeing a lot more of him, I think.
Well, I mean, look, these are the kind of games that everybody looked at and thought, okay, if Mesut Ozil comes back into the team, this is the sort of game where he can make an impact. He really did. Mm. I thought both himself and Mkhitaryan were brilliant. I think that was probably Mkhitaryan's best game.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, when I think back of other games he's done well in, I mean, I think it was his debut, wasn't it, where he got three assists or something like that in a similar scoreline. But yeah, this was as good as I've seen him play. And I, you know, we talked about Ozil's touch for his own goal, but I thought his little touch for Mkhitaryan's goal was great as well.
Yeah,
I love Mkhitaryan's pass for Aubameyang. It was great to see him back on the score sheet. It's always nice when both Aubameyang and Lacazette score as well. So there was basically a lot to be happy about.
For sure, for sure. Okay, well, look, we're going to go on and we're going to do these predictions because that's what we said we were going to do, and that's what the people want. I think we should, before we start, give the requisite credit to the Arse to Mouse podcast who started this back in the day. Elliot, Tim, and Dave used to do this on that show. Sadly, defunct or very occasional at this point, and they just sort of did it from an Arsenal point of view. I'm not crediting them with, you know, inventing the concept of predicting things. They didn't do that, but they did do this Predictatron, I think they called it. And I believe as well, I was speaking to Elliot, the Arsenal Vision podcast guys are going to do this as well. So it might be interesting to see what they come up with in comparison to what we come up with, and whether some of our more mathematically or arithmetically minded people out there can find the mean and find an average based on what we're going to do. We were initially only going to do Arsenal, Man United and Chelsea because we figured that was it. It was going to be a three-horse race for the one place left in the top four. But because of Tottenham's recent form, I think they're getting dragged back into it. So we are going to try and predict Tottenham's results as well. So should we do it week by week, or should we do it club by club, or what way do you think we should do it?
I think let's do it chronologically, week by week.
Okay. Well, just to point out the situation at the moment, Spurs are in third with 60 points. Arsenal are in fourth place with 56 points. United in fifth place, 55 points. Chelsea in sixth place with 53 points. So that's where we stand. We'll go through the games. We will then add up the points and see what we come up with, and see how wrong or right we are come May. So we're starting this weekend, James. It is Arsenal against Spurs, or Spurs against Arsenal at Wembley, a North London derby. Form goes out the window, blah blah blah. But what's your thoughts on this one?
It's a shame if form goes out the window, because they've lost two in a row and we're looking quite good.
Yeah,
they're so hard to predict, aren't they, as games? I am going to hedge my bets a little bit, and I'm going to go for a draw, and I think that would be a decent
result. Draw. Okay. Yeah. I'm actually going to go for an Arsenal win here because...
I love your confidence.
Yeah, I just feel like we're overdue a win in a big game away from home. The law of averages is on our side. I'm putting all my stock in the law of averages. Plus the fact that we do have Lacazette, we've got Aubameyang, we've got Mkhitaryan in form, we've got Mesut Ozil back to something approaching good form again. We've got Aaron Ramsey, we've got Alex Iwobi. I think there's enough in our squad to cause
of.
We've also got Kieran Trippier. What a brilliant goal that was last night! Fantastic Giroud assist. You know.
Yeah. Very true.
So I think it's a win for us this weekend. So maybe it's hopelessly optimistic and maybe a bit stupid, but that's what I'm going for. Manchester United are playing Southampton at home, and I can't see anything other than a win there for United.
No arguments from me. No, I think United will win that game pretty comfortably.
Chelsea are playing Fulham away from home at Craven Cottage, and again, I think it's going to be a win for Chelsea.
Yes, Fulham are terrible, aren't they? Absolutely awful. They're down.
Yeah, it does look like it, doesn't it?
Yes, very
much
so.
Isn't it interesting that Callum Chambers, who apparently has played pretty well all season for Fulham, is probably going to replicate something he didn't want to replicate, which is going on loan to a Premier League club, playing well and you know, getting plenty of praise for the way he's played, but also getting relegated because it happened with him at Borough as well.
Yeah. And the tricky thing is, it sort of prohibits a permanent move, doesn't it? You know, even if he's doing quite well at Fulham, I doubt he wants to go down to the Championship. So, and I doubt they would have the money necessarily to buy him at this point. So it will be interesting to see what happens to him come the summer.
It will be. And also, because he is a homegrown player, it might be interesting to see what Arsenal's plans are for him this summer. I think the perceived wisdom is that we're going to be letting him go, but I'm not 100% sure on that, to be honest. Okay. We'll wait and see. Okay, Manchester United at home. What do you reckon?
another. I mean, these are big, big games, aren't they? I mean, after Spurs and United. Hey, you filled in a draw for me already on the spreadsheet.
I did, yeah. I've got a spreadsheet here. I could hear in your voice that you were going to go for a draw. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I am going to go for a draw. I'll tell you why. There's a sort of deeper logic to it here, which is that these Spurs and United games, I think we could easily kind of win one, lose one. Mm. So I'm going to go for two draws and 2 points and hope that that sort of vaguely evens out. But it's really hard to call. What do you think?
I think a draw. I think we'll draw this one. Maybe you'd think at home, given our record there, we've got a good chance to beat United, but, you know, they came to us a few weeks ago, didn't they, in the FA Cup and played well, and we didn't play particularly well. I know we had some injuries during that game as well, but I think a draw there. But, I mean, if you were to ask me two draws or one win from one of those games, I'd obviously take one win simply because of the number of points it is. Mm. I'd rather that win was Tottenham, but I don't know.
It's and the damage it does to to our opponents, of course, because it's so tight now. Mm. So
I mean,
tight.
It's a six-pointer. It is a six-pointer. I mean, yeah. If we beat United there, it's, you know, it's it would give us a great advantage. So we'll see. But I just have a feeling we're not going to win both of those big games. So I'm going to go for a draw there. Chelsea have got Wolves at home.
Yes, I think Chelsea will win that one. They seem to have come out of the Carabao Cup final in surprisingly decent shape. I mean, they played okay on that day and they beat Spurs. I think they'll be on a bit of a, not a roll, but, you know, I think they'll be all right for a while. So I think they'll beat Wolves, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I've got a win down here for Wolves. Tottenham have got Southampton away and I think they're going to win that.
I think they will win it as well.
Okay. I'm just sticking the W in here. Now, we were to have a game against Wolves, which we'll do at the end, but that's been postponed because of the FA Cup. So we've got Newcastle at home. I'm going for an Arsenal win there.
That's an Arsenal win all day long, I'd say.
Okay. Watford. Manchester United face Watford at home.
Afraid that looks like a United win for me.
Yeah, me too. They weren't very good last night against Liverpool, and we're getting there. Chelsea go to Everton. Everton are confusing, aren't they? I mean, potentially they could be quite good, but generally they're a bit shit.
I'm going to go for a draw.
I'm going to go for a draw. Okay, I'm going to go for a Chelsea win there. And then we've got Crystal Palace. Spurs against Crystal Palace at home, so at Wembley.
I would think Spurs would win that one.
You're going to go for a Tottenham win. I am going to go for a draw in that game.
Palace are sort of better on the road, it seems like.
Yeah, and also I feel like they're a team who can stick a spoke in the oar a little bit, or spoke in the wheel, rather. Spoke in the oar? That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, that might also apply to us. Everton away, James, for Arsenal.
All the away games are difficult, aren't they? Everton away. I said Chelsea will draw. I think we... Oh, I've predicted a lot of draws for Arsenal. That's bad, isn't it? What do you think? I'm going to let you go first.
I think we're going to win that game just about. I think it's going to be difficult, but we'll win it.
I'm going to go for a win as well.
Okay. Manchester United go to Wolves.
That's quite a tough game, you know. Mm. I know it's a trip that we have to make as well. I think that you could be looking at a draw in that game.
Okay, a draw. I think I'm going to go for a United win in that one.
Fair enough.
Chelsea are playing Cardiff away.
I think Chelsea will win that.
So do I. Tottenham are playing Liverpool away.
I think Liverpool will win that. I just feel like at home, they're pretty difficult to beat, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so as well. We've got Watford away, and again, I'm going to go first here. Two difficult away games on the trot with potentially some Europa League in the middle. I'm still going to go for a win for Arsenal in that game.
Yeah, I think on the whole, we've got a pretty decent record at Vicarage Road, so I'm going to go for a win as well.
West Ham entertain Manchester United that weekend, and I think United are going to draw that game.
Okay, well, I think they're going to win it.
Okay.
So there we go.
I have obviously fucked up here somewhere along the way, because I've also got Chelsea playing West Ham, that weekend. That can't be right, can it?
Should we investigate?
Let me see. How Chelsea could that be possible?
After the Cardiff game, they do on the Monday night. They played Chelsea versus West Ham on the 8th of April.
Right.
And United play West Ham on the 13th of April.
Okay.
So I think that is correct.
Okay.
They're not on the same weekend, but those are the fixtures in that order.
Okay. All right. I think Chelsea will draw that game.
At Stamford Bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Well, you had them winning every other game, to be fair. So I think Chelsea will beat West Ham at Stamford Bridge.
Okay. Tottenham take on Brighton at home.
Oh, that's a really sad Spurs win.
I think I'll also go for a win there. Crystal Palace at home for Arsenal. For me, that's a win.
Yes, I think so too. At the Emirates Stadium.
Okay. Everton away from Manchester United. Everton, the confusingest team that we try and predict here.
Yeah, you just don't know, do you? Everton away. I think they'll win, actually.
So do I. So do I. Chelsea face Liverpool at Anfield.
United worrying me. Yeah. Looking at these numbers.
Yeah.
Chelsea face Liverpool at Anfield. I think that Chelsea might get a draw.
Okay. I'm going to go for a Chelsea defeat there, even though I have worries about Liverpool and their,
staying power.
Their staying power, just how the pressure might get to them at some point. So, we'll see there. Spurs play Huddersfield at home. Can I just put the W in there? Is that fine?
Feel free. Yeah. Feel free.
Leicester away for Arsenal.
I think we're going to lose.
Ooh, I think we're going to draw, but I do have a funny feeling about that fixture that I don't like.
I don't know if it's Big Brendy, but something's got me feeling not happy about that game.
Big Brendy and his shiny white gnashers.
Imagine Brendan Rodgers and Jamie Vardy in tandem. Oh, I shudder to think of what could happen
in
that match.
Like the human centipede? That kind of...
Please, no. Yeah, I feel like Leicester, they've got a new manager. They might have a little bit of a bump between now and the end of the season. I've just got to worry about that game. So that's my first Arsenal defeat I've predicted there.
Okay, all right.
Arsenal's still unbeaten in your predictions. So.
We are, yeah, which is, now that I think about it, pretty fucking optimistic. But there you go. Manchester United are playing Manchester City at home, and I'm going for a defeat for Manchester United in that game. I think City are going to do them.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Burnley at home for Chelsea. That's a win for Chelsea, surely.
I'm afraid so.
Okay. Manchester City away for Tottenham. I
think City will win that.
Yeah. I think that's a City win.
Because they'll be chasing potentially. And...
Yep. Brighton at home. Arsenal face Brighton at home.
It has to be a win.
Got to be a W. Got to be in the W there. Chelsea at home for Manchester United. I'm going to go for the D, go for a draw in that particular game.
Are you? Andre, are you? I'm going to go for a United win.
United win. United are unbeaten in your predictions.
In mine, United are absolutely flying. But to be fair, they won 8 away games on the spin, haven't they, or something? I mean, yeah. They're not bad at home either.
Yeah, okay. Spurs are playing West Ham at home.
Spurs are beating them, aren't they?
No, they're not. They're going to lose. They're going to lose. West Ham.
Really?
Against
You've got West
Tottenham.
Ham throwing a few spanners in it.
Yeah. At the end
You've
of the season.
You've got West Ham drawing at Chelsea as well.
Yeah.
And beating Spurs at Wembley.
Yeah, I think, it's what they live for. It's all they've got.
And you've got them drawing at Old Trafford.
Telling
you. Have you seen West Ham?
Obviously not enough. yeah, maybe one of those will come true, but who knows? I'm just throwing them out there. Burnley away for Arsenal. That's a difficult game.
It is, but I think Arsenal will win that game.
I think that could be a draw.
Hopefully in the last minute by a dodgy refereeing decision.
Oh, do I think it's a draw or do I think we should win that? Holy shit, we're winning a lot of games in my predictions here and I'm not necessarily...
But so are West Ham. So we don't know what to believe.
Huddersfield away from Manchester United. A couple of W's there, I reckon.
Yeah.
Watford at home for Chelsea. Couple of W's there.
A win, yeah.
Okay, Bournemouth away for Spurs.
Bournemouth away. I think Spurs will win.
I think it's going to be a draw. I think Spurs are going to Spurs the end of the season right up, so...
Yeah, you've got Spurs dropping quite a lot of points, promisingly.
Yeah. Wolves away for Arsenal.
Another fixture that worries me. I'm going to say a draw.
A draw. I think I'm also going to go for a draw there. United play Cardiff at home, so that's a couple of W's.
A win.
Chelsea, Leicester away.
Are Leicester going to do the double over Arsenal and Chelsea? I think that's going to be a draw.
Yeah, I'm going for a draw.
No Chelsea defeat. I haven't predicted a single Chelsea defeat.
Mm. Or a United defeat either. So
wow, that doesn't look good, does it? No. The old sums at the end.
It doesn't. Okay, so we've got a final fixture here. Tottenham against Everton.
I think that might be a draw.
A draw. I think I'm going to go for a Tottenham win there.
Okay.
Because at home, final day of the season. Oh, I know the pressure usually gets to them on the final day of the season. Think about the Newcastle game. But nevertheless, I'll go for a win, maybe to balance out that ridiculous West Ham prediction. So, let me have a look here and see what we've got in terms of points. So, from an Arsenal point of view, I've predicted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins. So, that's 21 points and 3 draws. That's... 24 points in total, which gives us a total of
80.
80. That's quite,
plenty of points.
Quite a lot of points. You've got, for Arsenal, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins. That's 18 and 3, 21. So you've got 77. Yours feels a bit more realistic to me, to be honest. United... I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins. So that's 18 and 1, 2, 3 draws. 21 on top of 55, which is 76. Oh, it's very tight. And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 United wins and 3 draws, 24 points, which would give them a total of 79. So either way, between the two of us, I've got it a bit ahead of you, but there's only 1 point in the predictions. So Chelsea, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins, 18, 1, 2, 3. Hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, how am I doing this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six wins, three draws you've got.
Six wins, three draws. I'm wondering, have one, two, three. Okay. Six wins and three draws is 21.
21.
Again. So that leaves Chelsea with a total of 74.
Everyone's getting about 21 points, we reckon, I think, from these 10 games.
And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Again, 27 and 3. 21, seven. 24. You've got 24. You've got Chelsea getting 24. So that's 77.
Okay.
And Tottenham, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins, which is 15, and 2 draws, which is 17, which brings them to 77. And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins, and 1, 2 draws, so 20 points, which brings them to 80.
So let's do your table first, because we'll do my table first because I think yours is more fun.
Right.
So my table has in sixth place, well, in sixth and fifth place, is this right? Yes, tied on points, and it will come down to goal difference, which currently we lead. So let's say that in sixth place I've got Chelsea. On fifth place, by virtue of goal difference,
okay,
I've got Arsenal, both on 77 points. In fourth place, I have Manchester United, making it by 2 points. 79 points, qualifying for the Champions League. Mm. And then Spurs clinging on to third by a point on 80 points. So from third to sixth, because it goes Spurs, United, Arsenal, Chelsea. Okay. So I have us missing out on the top four.
Okay, so we need the Europa League in your scenario. Whereas in mine, I've got Chelsea. I've got Chelsea in sixth.
So we agree on that.
I've got United in fifth.
Mm.
I've got Spurs in fourth. And I've got Arsenal in third. Am I drunk? What
I
the
mean,
fuck is wrong with me?
We owe West Ham plenty. That's all I can say. We well, are all West Ham fans now.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at your predictions, you have gone for us to beat Spurs away and then draw with United at home. So I think yeah. we'll get a good feel quite early on for how plausible that is. I mean, it is plausible. If we get those results, that would be absolutely massive.
It sure would. I just can't, you know, in fairness, having looked at this in total now that I've predicted 10 games, there's a part of me that goes, we're not gonna be that flawless between now and the end of the season, you know, particularly when we take into account the fact we've got Europa League football as well. So,
yeah. I mean, I think from the 40 games, I've only predicted three losses from the 40 games, which feels slight. You know, that feels like not enough.
Yeah. I wonder, is there a case where it's, you know, we're looking at the opposition and thinking they're not going to lose that kind of game, whereas we can more easily see us drop points, even though I've had the points dropped in terms of defeats or draws rather than defeats, you know?
I don't know. I feel like there'll probably be more slip-ups than either of us have predicted. But, I mean, it would be a very high set of points, wouldn't it, for sixth place to be, you know, in the mid to late 70s would be quite extraordinary.
It would. Let me just look at the final table of last season and see what that would have done or what sort of points were there. So let me just...
Check that what I said made any sense before we...
So last season, 75 points would get you fourth.
Right.
Liverpool finished fourth with 75 points. Tottenham
we were on
third,
63.
We were way back. Tottenham third with 77, United second with 81. So finishing in third with 80 is there or thereabouts, I guess.
I mean, look, third and 80 would be an absolutely incredible end to the season.
It would be.
Give Unai Emery another 5-year deal or something immediately. If we're playing in that sort of form, we're winning the Europa League too.
Yeah.
But
But I mean, I'm encouraged a little bit, James, by the fact that we've won the last two games. I know the opposition haven't been particularly brilliant, but what has been encouraging for me is A, we've played some pretty good football in those two games, and B, we've played pretty good football while rotating the squad fairly heavily. He made six changes for the team to face Southampton on Sunday. From the team that beat Bate. And then again, last night, there were six changes. You know, six changes and a formation change as well. Wow. So some of the concerns we had about maybe the players being a bit bamboozled by everything they're being asked to do or the constant changing around in terms of formation or system, or, you know, back three, back five, back four, whatever it might be, maybe isn't quite the case. That to me is encouraging, and we have, in fairness, often gone as a club on runs towards the end of the season. If you think about remember the time we overtook Tottenham to get into fourth. Remember when they were doing all the mind the gap stuff and all that kind of crack. I know it's a bit more competitive this year, but you know it's within our wheelhouse as a football club to do that. And I was going to make another very important and interesting point there, but I've forgotten what it is.
Right.
I remember. We have kind of gone through our patch of really iffy form. Hopefully.
Yes, we hope so.
You know, so it might well be a case that we've gone through the doldrums a little bit in December and January, perhaps to an extent, because we did have all those injuries and we found it hard to keep players fit and to field a reasonable back four. But those problems, touch wood, appear to be behind us, or certainly Emery's got a lot more to choose from in terms of his squad. So, you know, with all those things in mind, maybe it's the kind of run we can get on if we can build some momentum.
Maybe. I mean, you know, sort of looking at it from my point of view, from the 10 Arsenal games remaining, I only predicted 6 wins. And despite that, we were still just 2 points off the top four in my final ranking. So it suggests it's really, really close. And one game could swing it and be the difference. And that was with Man U going unbeaten. So it is tight. One of the things that would concern me, I know once we play Spurs and United, we've got sort of seemingly quite easy opposition. But of our 10 remaining games, I think 6 are away, only 4 at the Emirates Stadium. So that would be sort of what might cause some alarm there, you know.
Yeah.
Conversely, I think United have got 6 home games in that period. So it's really tough one to call. Hopefully Spurs completely implode and there's two places up for grabs. That would make things a bit easier.
It would. It would. And, you know, as much as going on a run is within our capability, so is it within theirs to do exactly that, you know, to absolutely fuck things up and to feel the pressure. So fingers crossed. You know, there were perhaps some signs of it as well, weren't there, in the game against Burnley when Pochettino lost his reason and confronted Mike Dean, which, you know, in fairness, we'd all like to do. But it's a sign of perhaps the pressure on him. Harry Kane last night throwing the head on, was it Pedro or whoever, Azpilicueta, one of those. I mean, he should immediately get a 15-game ban for that. But having said that, they were doing quite well when he was out. And now that he's come back, maybe just keep him in the team. He's going to score against us on Saturday, isn't he?
Almost certainly. But I...
Unless we apply the Charlie Austin dynamic, as we did against Southampton last week. Charlie Austin always scores against us and didn't. So maybe the universe is, you know, shining, smiling on us from on high. Please.
That's right. And, I talked up Nathan Ake, didn't I? And he shipped 5 goals. So I just should take this opportunity to say what a tremendous striker I believe Harry Kane to be.
Okay. Well, let's see how that works out.
Let's see how that plays out. I mean, it's crazy, this league. And looking at, I mean, in my predictions, I've got 6th and 3rd separated by 3 points. It's just very, very tight. And all we can do is try and accumulate as many points as possible. But it does feel like the Spurs game and the United game will have a huge bearing on everything that
comes. Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, if we come through those two games well, then you give yourself a platform, don't you, to go into those final games and maybe give yourself a bit of margin for error. But, you know, because of the six-pointiness of those particular fixtures, if it goes wrong, then you're facing a real uphill challenge. So look, the next 2 weeks are going to be very important from a domestic point of view, but also European as well, because we do face Rennes in the Europa League. Okay, well, James, look, thank you for joining me in this exercise in both futility and hopeless optimism. We'll see where we end up, and we'll chat on Monday in the Arsecast Extra, in which, of course, we will be looking back on the North London Derby.
Wow. Speak to you then.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
Okay, the very eagle-eared... Can you be eagle-eared? What would be, like, the ear equivalent of eagle-eyed, James?
That's a really good question.
Bat-eared?
Bat-eared, yeah, that's the correct... The bat-eared among you.
Yeah, yeah, you'll have noticed that we kind of fucked it up a little bit because we forgot one Chelsea fixture, which wasn't listed in the fixture thing that I was looking at because the game is postponed and not yet rescheduled, and that was because of their involvement in the Carabao Cup final, which they lost, you might remember. But it's a game against Brighton, and it's a home game against Brighton. So
I think they'll win that.
I also think they will win that.
Now, this wreaks havoc with my league table.
It does, because this means that my prediction for Chelsea then is 77 points and your prediction is 80 points. So, you've got Tottenham and Chelsea. you're looking
both
at,
on 80 points.
Yeah. So your
goal difference.
Your sixth becomes Arsenal. Your fifth is United, and then it's Chelsea and Spurs in third and fourth, whichever team has the best goal difference there. So that's yours. And what does it mean for mine?
It just means for you that
Chelsea finish above United. And United finish in sixth, Chelsea fifth, Spurs still in fourth, and Arsenal still in third place, because I'm a hopeless romantic and optimist.
Well, actually, it could push Spurs out of the Champions League, because you've got them level on points with Chelsea at this point.
Okay, so, yeah. That would be nice.
I mean, it's interesting that you've predicted us to come third and I've predicted us to come sixth. I think it's just you're an inherently optimistic person and I'm inherently pessimistic.
Yeah, and maybe somewhere in the middle the truth lies. We'll see.
Fifth. It will be fifth after all.
Fourth and a half. Can we do that? We can do half sizes. Okay. Well, there we go. We've corrected that mistake, and it has a significant impact on James's predictions, not much of an impact on mine. So we'll
see. I've been very generous to Chelsea, haven't I? 80 points.
You have. You know, considering the troubles they've been having under Sarri, and I know everything is now hunky-dory between him and Arrizabalaga, but...
I've got Caballero leading them to an extraordinary haul of points.
Captain Caballero.
Well, look, try it yourself. No, I mean, it is tricky to know.
It is.
Basically, we don't know, do we? We've had a good go and we don't know.
We don't know, exactly. I think it's a theme of this podcast in general. We don't know. We just don't know. But I'm actually curious now to see how those predictions tally up against the Arsenal Vision guys when they do this. It's going to be interesting to see what they come up with and where they see us finishing.
Learn from our mistakes, guys. Remember, Chelsea have 11 games. Remember, Chelsea aren't that good. Remember, West Ham aren't that good.
You're spoiling my mood here. I was so happy with our third place finish there for a little while.
Listen, I desperately hope you're right. I desperately hope you're right.
Okay, we've done it. We've corrected our mistake, as we always try and do. So let's see where it takes us. And again, James, thanks very much, and we'll chat on Monday.
Yes, bye-bye again.
So those are the predictions. Like I said at the start of the show, I think I did get a little bit carried away in terms of looking at the opposition and thinking, yeah, come on, we can beat those guys, fuck them. And then sort of ignoring the, you know, reality of our football at times this season, our away record, and the fact we've got to play Europa League on top of all this as well. But hey, it could happen, you know, it could. I mean, you know, it probably won't. I mean, it almost definitely won't. But there you go. We'll see. Will Arsenal finish in the Champions League places? Time will tell. Far more than our predictions will. So we've previewed the Tottenham game. We've talked about the Bournemouth game. We've done all the predictions. We're going to leave it there for today. There is a huge game coming up this weekend. Fingers crossed we can get the right result. It's about time, isn't it, that we won a big game away from home? It is overdue. So come on, Arsenal. Stick it to them. Make their week even more miserable. Maybe even Harry Kane might do something he gets punished for, an act of ill discipline. We'll see him taken to task by the game's authorities. Yeah, that's as wildly optimistic as my predictions. But there you go. James and I will be here on Monday. We will be discussing the North London Derby. Hopefully it will be a goodly morning. We'd be delighted to share that goodly morning with you. So in the meantime, have yourselves a great weekend. Until then, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
This is Talkshite Radio, talking shite about sport 24 hours a day. Coming up a little later, we've got Sam Allardyce in studio. Big Sam is going to tell us all about the brand new Mussolini tattoo he's got. But first, the North London Derby this weekend. Arsenal fans are going crazy because of Harry Kane. They feel he got away lightly for his indiscipline on Wednesday night. We wanted to get to the bottom of this, so who better than the top man in the FA, Blenkinsop Carmichael? Welcome to TalkSport.
Yes, I'm sure it's a pleasure to be here.
Do you think the Arsenal fans have a point? Harry Kane did appear to headbutt the opponent on Wednesday night.
Yes, well, FA rules say that if the official has seen the incident and doesn't deem it worthy of a caution or a sending off at the time, then there's nothing we can do.
Yes, you're quite right. And indeed, the referee replay show did see the incident, and he saw the follow-up incident in which Harry Kane channeled his inner Alan Shearer and booted the man in the head while he was lying on the ground.
Yes. Well, the precedent has been set there in the past when, of course, Alan Shearer was highly commended for kicking that very irritating Irishman, John Lennon, or whatever he was called.
Yes, of course, you're making it very difficult to argue with you, but some people would say the moment when Kane ripped off his opponent's arm, beat him about the head with it, took his corpse and defiled it in the centre circle in front of everybody live on TV with children watching, that he probably just went a little bit too far.
Some people might say that, but not the FA. We are very much of the opinion that if more people showed the kind of gumption that Harry Kane did, this country would be in a far, far better place.
What a convincing argument you make. Just to play devil's avocado for a moment, what about Granit Xhaka getting a 14-game ban for scratching his nose towards the referee in an aggressive manner?
Clearly, he brought the game into a terrible, terrible disrepute.
How exactly did he do that? I'm not quite getting it.
Oh, my dear boy. By not being England captain, of course.
Thank you very much indeed to Blenkinsop Carmichael, head of the FA. We are going to take a quick break for a commercial. After that, can Alan Pardew chug a pint of Alan Brazil's freshly expressed breast milk inside 10 seconds? We'll find out right here on Talkshite Radio.
Talkshite Radio. Talking shite about sport 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.